This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Mary Kay Cabot, PlainDealerCleveland.com. She is a super friend of the show, and she is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, we are in the final stretch. We're almost there. Mary Kay, almost there.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait for Thursday night to come and also for Sunday to come.
I'm just ready.
Yeah, I'm anxious for everything past Thursday, you know, because I want to see... I want to see what they do when they dig deep. What kind of talent are they going to bring in, Mary Kay? You think they're going to load up on offense throughout this draft? Do you think there's a focus? They go on best player available? What's their strategy?
I think that there will be a really good mix of offensive players, defensive players. I think they'll try to stick as closely as possible to the best player available strategy. That's the way you end up with a good roster. You don't go for need. So I think they'll do that. I still think that at this moment in time, they probably are leaning towards Travis Hunter at number two. That seems to be the way that they're going to go. And then I wrote a column yesterday that I would trade back into the first round to get Jalen Milroe after that. I checked back in again with his quarterbacks coach, Jordan Palmer, yesterday, talked a little bit more about Jalen Milroe and why he's such a tantalizing prospect in this draft. And there's just something about him that I really like. Do I think the Browns will actually do that? I'm going to say probably not, but it's something that I would do.
You like him better than Jackson Dart? Do you think they like him better than Jackson Dart?
I don't know if they like him better than Jackson Dart or not, but I just think he's unique. He's his own version of a unicorn in terms of the way he can run that football and how strong his arm is. And yes, he needs some polishing. He needs some seasoning the same way Lamar Jackson did. But I just think he has some traits that you can't coach, that you can't find anywhere. And he is the wave of the future in terms of a dual threat quarterback.
Mary Kay, what would it take for the Browns to leave the number two spot?
Oh, that's a good question. I really don't know.
I've got your column for tomorrow. Go ahead. Knock it out. We'll start it here.
You mean to trade down?
Yeah. What would it take for them to say, you know what? Maybe we can get Travis Hunter somewhere a little bit later. I don't think they would be able to. But what kind of a package do you think Andrew Berry's like? If people are really calling him and saying, hey, what do you want for two? What do you want for two? What do you think would make him say yes?
I think it would have to be a pretty nice package. You would be taking the risk of moving away from Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. And I think if you were going to do something like that, you'd have to make sure that you like both of them well enough. That you could still land one of them. So you would be trading away from what everyone is describing as generational players. So I would ask for the moon for that.
Would you be okay with that? What if they came out of this draft, say, with Mason Graham trading down? Would that work?
It depends on what else you can get and where else you get that player. If you get something really good in a trade, then... sure, I think that can work. He's a phenomenal player. And, you know, and then you can come back and get some other things, perhaps, that you wouldn't have had a chance to do. So You know, I don't think it would be the craziest idea in the world, but once again, you're talking about potentially trading away from the number one player in this entire draft in Travis Hunter.
Mary Kay, have you ever had that moment after they make the pick, especially over the last couple of years? And I understand, like, we're all trying to be journalists, but deep down we all know that this is a team we've been following and we want what's best for the team. When, after they make that pick and you're like, oh my God, what were they thinking? Why did they do that? Like, that's the worst feel. Like, we get that every year on Friday after the pick, right? And so I'm just curious, has there ever been a draft where you walked away from, oh my God, what did they just do?
Well, there were a couple of times that I felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of those times was when they drafted Johnny Manziel. I was very concerned that that was going to be a train wreck. Mm-hmm. And it turned
good
out
call,
to be a
good
train
call.
Wreck.
Way to go, Mary Kay.
Yeah. Take a victory lap.
Too bad you weren't drafting.
And then another time was, of course, in 2018, where I kept touting Josh Allen because I had done a ton of research on him in every way possible. And I really believed that they should draft him over Baker Mayfield. And up until draft day, I still thought that there was a chance that they might do the right thing and draft Josh Allen. And they did not do that. So, yeah, that was another day.
That was another day, wasn't it? Hey, Andy and I were throwing this around earlier, Mary Kay. Who do you think is the starting quarterback week one? And we kind of had overall, our thought was Kenny Pickett. What do you think?
Well, I said that last week when I was on with Ken and Anthony, and they thought I had lost my mind.
They don't count. Yeah, they don't count.
So, yeah, that was kind of funny because they were flabbergasted that I answered Kenny Pickett when they asked me who I thought might be the starting quarterback in week one. And I think in this moment in time, I would answer that same way again. Because I think they really see something that they like in Kenny Pickett. They're excited about Kenny Pickett. They like the fact that he doesn't turn the ball over much. I think they really see something in his athletic profile that they like a lot. And they're high on Kenny Pickett. So at this moment, when we're sitting here without their rookie quarterback yet, seeing what he can do in training camp, I would probably go Kenny over Joe.
Let's just assume for this conversation that Cam Ward's off the table and Shedeur Sanders off the table. So now they're sitting at 33 and they haven't moved back in. How would you rank the quarterbacks the Browns are looking at that point? And do you think Jalen Milroe is that guy? I think really that's more what I'm asking.
Well, once again, I don't know how they have them ranked. And if anybody thinks they know how they have them ranked, they're probably wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Browns are keeping this close to the vest. They're not leaking information and telling people how their quarterbacks are ranked or anything like that. So I don't really know who they would go with if they were going to go quarterback at number 33 and you had Jackson Dart, Tyler Shook, and Jalen Milroe all available, which I don't think they will be all available at number 33. But once again, if they were there, I would go Jalen Milroe, drafting on traits, not on what he's done so far at Alabama. I know there were problems with some things. There are no perfect prospects right now. But I would be drafting on that devastating speed and that big, strong arm.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. As we sit here right now, the Browns need running backs. I think you and I would agree the Browns could certainly use another wide receiver. Even if they draft Travis Hunter, they could probably use a wide receiver. Is there any chance Amari Cooper is back on this team? And what do you think the chances are Nick Chubb returns?
I don't think Amari Cooper will be back on this team. I really don't see that happening, although, of course, stranger things have happened. But I just don't necessarily see that happening just because, you know, he's now gotten a couple years older. And, you know, I just think they want to go younger and fresher on this football team. So that's that. And then what was the second part of the question again? Oh, Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been writing and saying that the Browns, I think they will re-sign Nick Chubb after the draft. I do. I think so. I think the longer it goes, the more likely it is he ends up on this team. And I know at the outset of free agency, I had a paragraph in my story saying that it seemed like the end of the Nick Chubb era. And then I thought that was kind of sad because I thought he should be able to finish his career here. And I took a lot of heat for that.
Mm.
But my feeling on it was that he was going to hit the market and probably sign somewhere else. And that hasn't happened. So the fact that it hasn't happened, it opens the door for him to come back here. And I do see that happening at this point.
Makes you think it happens by next week, too, right? Right after the draft? See how teams trickle in with their new rookies?
Probably. I would think that, you know, with the start of the offseason program now, that you would want to get him in here as soon as possible. So I think they'll get through the draft, see what they end up with, and see what happens to, you know, Nick Chubb during draft weekend as well. But the fact that he hasn't signed anywhere, I think it's a good sign for the Browns getting him back.
Mary Kay, what, give me your priority list. I mean, I know we all sit here and say, well, they need to draft a quarterback. Maybe they need to draft a running back. But give me the priority list you think this team has walking into next season.
Well, once again, they don't draft for need. So we can't look at the draft as, oh, they need to get their quarterback and they need to get their running back. They don't really operate quite that way. That's why they try to fill as many holes as they can before they hit into the draft so that they can feel free to take whoever comes to them at whatever point they can get them. But obviously they do need a quarterback of the future. I think a running back is a high priority in this draft at some point, but you can get them in the middle round, so you don't have to force that pick early on. I still think another tight end, they really need another tight end, a tackle, and then they're always looking for those defensive pieces, another edge rusher if you can find one. They kind of need a little bit of everything, especially at some of those premium positions.
Mary Kay, can we read into the fact they signed, you know, a corner, Nick Needham, a defensive end, and obviously quarterback is what it is, but the fact that they signed a corner this week, does that mean anything? Or?
No, not really. I mean, I think if anything, it does give them the opportunity to not have to press and force a cornerback in there if they don't see one at the right spot. It also kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit, wondering if that means anything at all for if they receive some calls on Greg Newsom and somebody makes them an offer that they can't refuse, if something could happen there. I know that they're not going into it intending to trade Greg, but when you have someone going into the final year of his contract, and if someone is willing to give you something meaningful for him, then I think you at least have to listen.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. If Shedeur Sanders was on the board, should the Browns go up to get him, Mary Kay? Because, boy, we've seen him anywhere from some mock drafts to number one, not anymore, but early on, certainly number two to the Browns, and then falling even out of the first round. Where do you think that guy ends up going?
It's so hard to say. It really is so hard to say. He's the big X factor in this draft. I've seen people have him completely falling out of the first round. I've seen people mocking him still even to the Browns at number two and to the Giants at number three. So we don't really know exactly where he's going to go. It really kind of seems at this point where the window appears to be between like 3 and 21 for him. And as far as the Browns are concerned, I kind of have talked myself out of the old style fit Kevin Stefanski scheme quarterback, even though that's kind of where they're going this year, it seems, with their other quarterbacks a little bit. But I'm spinning it forward, and that's why now I have myself talked into more of an off-structure athletic quarterback. I think it's the wave of the future. I don't think you want to be stuck back in the 2010s when everyone else in the league is moving forward.
Do you have a Buckeye on the radar you want the Browns to try to get?
Well, there are a lot of them, obviously, that are really, really good. And the Browns have done a nice job of drafting Buckeyes in recent years. So they are all over these guys. Of course, the two running backs, I'm intrigued by the running backs. You've got some offensive and defensive linemen there that you're going to want to take a good long look at. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with a Buckeye in this draft.
All right. Last time we talked to you before the draft, the Browns will blank at number two.
I'm going to say Travis Hunter right now at number two. But, you know, stay tuned. Anything can happen.
There you go. That gives us a reason to make sure we read you every day in the PlainDealerCleveland.com. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, guys.
Build up to the draft this week underway. It's going absolutely nuts. Don't miss Daryl Wright or Andy Baskin, their latest edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where they discuss all of the latest talk around the Browns and what they'll do in the first rounds of the draft and the quarterback situation and Joe Flacco and everything else. Subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland right now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. They're sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
And we'll have our draft preview. We're doing it tonight, so it'll probably be out later tonight. We were planning on doing it yesterday.
It's going to drop.
It's going to drop. You want to hear what a great story is as I live here in 2025?
Yeah.
My internet provider's been out for the last 5 days.
Oops.
I kind of want to rip them, but I'm going to let it go because I'm going to be above that. Because
don't want to get sued.
Well, how can you be sued over telling the truth?
You know what I did one time?
You told the truth and got sued for it?
No. This happened when I lived in Texas. Complete diversion for 2 seconds.
Yes.
My cable was out for like a week.
Oh.
In you know, and I'm working in television down there,
yeah,
right?
So what are you going to do?
Right. Hmm? So I deducted 25% of my bill.
Yeah.
You know, I did the math and whatever it was, I deducted that from my payment.
To the next payment, yeah.
Yeah, and then they got all mad and they said, well, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you didn't provide me the service. Why should I pay for it?
Yes.
And we went back and forth and back and forth, and I think they left town without paying.
What?
Can't have nice things.
Jeff Phelps.
Well, why would you pay for a service?
Why would you pay for a service
that's not provided?
I know. I'm like, so I had the phone call there, and I was just like, I've been with you guys for 24 years, and all of my neighbors have bailed on you. I didn't, because at one time you were a local company, and that's what I said. And I always feel bad for the agent on the other end of that. Like, you're trying.
Right.
And by the way, it took me probably 2 hours to figure out a phone number where I could actually talk to a person.
Yeah, that's not good.
Which is the worst.
Not good.
And so then I finally got a hold of somebody. I go, hey, wow, live human being. This is great. I'm really looking forward to talking to you. But I go, I know none of this is your fault, so please don't take any of this personally. But, I mean, today is day six. And then they have the audacity that when you go to look at the site, they tell you how many other customers are in the same misery as you. I can't imagine anybody
like that's supposed to make you feel better.
And I can't imagine that anybody's staying with them. Like, I got to tell you I don't even know what the power company changed their name again, but whatever. At least they let you know when they think, like, I'm okay with that. Look, okay, I understand, you know, weather happens, stuff like that happens, and we might be without power for a little bit, right? Or maybe even a couple days. I mean, we've been in that time too.
And sometimes what are you going to do?
But
if you're in particular not having your internet, you shouldn't have to pay
for it. Well, I think the part that irritated me the most was initially I looked at the site and it said, it'll be back up by 4 o'clock this afternoon. I was like, okay, all right, I can live with it. Then it said it'll be back up by 8 o'clock. And then it said it'd be back by 11. Then it said by 4 in the morning.
Then by 2029.
And then the next thing, it was nothing. So... currently shopping for a new internet provider.
Aww.
Probably be doing that this afternoon. I feel bad for the people that work there. I feel bad for customer service, but I mean, come on, man. I mean,
and they just feel bad for you, Andy Baskin.
No, they don't. Just let me know what's going on. It's just that you stick with a company for 24 years because you want to be loyal to a company that's been pretty good for you. But like in this scenario, it's like, and they just don't care. Like, I'm tired of talking to push one, push two, push four. Like, I don't understand why companies can't understand that. Like, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't matter.
We'll get it fixed.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll get it fixed. Dan, get me off this road, will you please? Can we talk a little bit about what Andrew Berry had to say last night on the Browns Radio Network?
I just love that Dan loves playing We'll Get It Fixed. He smiles every time.
Better than the other thing that he's been playing. Done with that thing.
The worst part of that drop, gentlemen, is that it has now become like a part of my general answer for various things going wrong.
In life.
Yeah. Like, people will come up to me and go, hey, how come this isn't where I'm? We'll get it fixed. It's like just become something I say now. We'll get it fixed. So the big thing, of course, Browns have an opportunity in this draft with a real high pick to, well, let's face it, get it fixed. And so Andrew Berry sat down yesterday on the Browns draft preview show, which you heard right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Had a lot of different things to say about a couple different topics, but the big one, of course, being quarterbacks and the quarterback collection. We'll use that term instead of the one that annoys Jeff O so much, and how they may look to add to it.
Now, we obviously know Joe very well from his time with us in 2023. Kenny's a player we did a lot of work on, you know, ahead of the draft, and obviously saw a number of starts against him when he's with Pittsburgh. Yeah, and we do think that Kenny has a skill set that marries really well with what, you know, Kevin wants to do offensively. He's mobile, he has a good arm, he's really smart, and we do think that he has, you know, some of his best football, you know, ahead of him. But that doesn't mean that we're not necessarily going to, you know, add to the room as we go, you know, through the course of the offseason, and it could be as early as this week.
What do you get out of that?
They've hedged their bets and limited their exposure to complete failure at quarterback.
Explain.
You brought in a guy who was really good for you for five games, been a big-time quarterback.
Yeah.
Flacco.
Yeah.
You brought in a guy who you're intrigued by, who you think you might be able to develop. And they're going to draft somebody. They're going to have three guys they could possibly play, maybe even four. You never know. By the time they get done, you know, they usually take four quarterbacks to camp.
Yeah, and Deshaun will be ready by the end of the season, so.
Well, you never know.
I just don't know how Deshaun can walk in there and go, well, the owner already said we swung and missed. Like, I just, all right, well, swing and miss. Oh, another paycheck comes through. That'll work.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Big swing and a miss for you.
I'm happy.
Big swing and a hit for me.
I'm happy hitting under 100. Right?
Big swing and a hit. Look at that double into the gap. That's pretty.
You got nothing out of it. I think you're right. Like, we're going to sit here, and this is going to be a...
None of these quarterback solutions are riveting, Andy.
It's a limbo year for quarterback.
One of them has you excited.
Can we accept that, though, that it's going to be a limbo year at quarterback? No. It probably is going to be.
Let me. Can I tweak what you said?
Sure.
Heading into this season, it's a wait-and-see year. Because you could actually have your answer. Your answer could be Kenny Pickett. Your answer could be whoever you draft by the end of the year. I would assume, you know, whoever they draft is not going to start. That's why, you know, Mary Kay agreed with us. That's why Pickett's going to start. Unless he's awful, and then Flacco's going to start.
I have a topic I would love to throw out there, but I don't really want to hear the answer to it.
Oh, boy.
How far, let's just say Shedeur Sanders lands at 21, right, and ends up going to Pittsburgh. How far can Shedeur Sanders take the Steelers next year? And are we going to sit here in Cleveland and go, oh, boy.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, that's what I've said all along about this. All right, you don't want Shedeur Sanders? No problem. You better make sure he doesn't become a star, because then you missed. And you pick up Jalen Milroe. You trade back up. You trade back up for Jackson Dart. You get him at 33. Okay, congratulations. Trading back up to draft a quarterback or taking a guy at 33 will not be a swing and a miss if it doesn't pan out. Because you're not going to be trading back into the top 10 to get a quarterback.
So I'm deep down in your secret wishes, are we hoping that Shedeur Sanders goes at number 9 to New Orleans?
You don't.
I kind of am. I'm kind of hoping that he goes to New Orleans at 9, and it just kind of is. I'm not going to feel bad if he goes to number 9 in New Orleans. I'm not, because I'll be like, you know, they took a blue chipper or two. I hope. Please keep your fingers crossed.
We We are not NFL scouts, okay? We know, we all know that.
Right.
Everybody who listens, we all watch a lot of football. We see things we like. We see things we don't like. I can tell you, I watched Cam Ward tape, and I thought, man, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy looks fun. This guy looks like he might be able to do some things. I looked at Sanders. I saw some things, and I thought, okay, I could see how he could work. I looked at Jackson Dart. I thought, he's really young. I really see some things I like here. And I saw Jalen Milroe, and I thought, this is the best running quarterback I've ever seen in my life on a college field. He's phenomenal, and he can't put a ball in any kind of position for a guy to get any yards after the catch.
And don't you think it's a little harder to run in the NFL?
And he's
going to
get somebody killed. Yet he intrigued the you-know-what out of me.
Yeah.
And so I honestly don't know quarterbacks well enough to look at Sanders, Dart, and Milroe, or Shuck, who looked really good on tape at Louisville anyway, and tell you which one is going to have a better career. I can tell you I think Cam Ward will have the best career out of all those guys. If I had to bet, he's the guy that jumped off the tape to me, and I thought, this guy's different. The other four guys, I just thought, okay, I'd be happy. Honestly, I'd be happy if the Browns had any of them, because I would think, there's a guy you might be able to develop. But Ward was the one and only guy at quarterback, and I watched video of all these guys with, you know, my simple football mind, but he was the only guy that made me think, yep, that's clearly the guy I want more than everybody else.
Right.
And the other guys weren't bad, but the other guys are, hey, I'm going to draft this guy and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that he becomes something.
Dan, what else? What else do you have to say? You want to do this after the break? Let's come back. Let's play a little bit more than what he has to say, right? Is that how you feel about it? Hit me. You can
follow your heart.
All right, I'm going to follow my heart. Let's hear more about what Andrew Berry had to say last night as we get ready for the draft on Thursday night. Tommy Tai is going to join us at high noon. We'll get back into the Cavaliers and Miami Heat. And, oh, yeah, the Yankees are in town. And Tristan McKenzie's looking for work. Ooh, we'll talk about all those stories coming up. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3, the Fan.
Don't miss a minute. And, of course, the Yankees, Guardians, Red Sox coming. It's going to be fun. Don't miss a minute of the Fan, because we're going to have everything on all of it for you. With all the latest breaking news during your workday, or if you're out on the go, you can stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Tommy Tai for the Miami Heat Radio Network is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll talk to Ed McCaffrey, former Broncos wide receiver, obviously father of Christian and Luke. And we're going to talk to him about the draft coming up. And then John Schumann at 1 o'clock, NBA.com. We talked a little bit about what's going on with the Browns and the draft as we get set for Thursday night's draft, where the Browns have the number two pick. So let's take one more phone call on that real quick. Brian is in Independence. Hi, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, real quick. Travis Hunter, I saw what probably most fans have seen, just stuff on YouTube. I cannot profess to have been following Colorado, but any concerns about his weight and being able to support run as a cornerback?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's valid, but corners aren't that big.
No, the average NFL cornerback is 5'11", 193.
Denzel Ward is 5'11", 190.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter is 6 foot 188, so he's basically Denzel size.
But 188, the beginning of the year, I believe he went down to 175 during the season. Is that not accurate?
Yeah, no, I read that story, too, so, somewhere along the line. I mean, we weren't there with a
needs
scale.
Needs to come hang with us, Brian.
Yeah, really. I mean, we could, but I mean... You know, we tried to tell Tristan McKenzie you need to put in.
What is that?
Cheeseburgers, but
that's a cheeseburger.
Right. Yes, thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Cheeseburger, Lyle, love it.
Thank you. I was thinking more Jimmy Buffett.
Brian.
Let's get to Tristan McKenzie here in a second, because I do want to talk about that. I want to ask you this. I got to ask you. This is a 3-minute story. We'll do this real quick.
Oh, good.
It's a youth sports corner. Ready?
Oh, good.
It's not that bad.
Can't get enough of those.
All right. You're the parent of a kid who is a high school sophomore, right? And you're in a state that doesn't have NIL. Someone approaches your kid from another state in NIL and offers you.
Why are you so hung up on high school NIL?
Because it's real and it's coming here and they need to do something about it before it becomes a problem. That's why. And here's your problem, right? You want to listen to this or no? You're looking away.
Well, I don't have a choice.
You're disgusted.
You have
by
an
this.
Open microphone, That's and I'm true. Paid to sit here and listen to you babble.
Well, good. Dan, you're more than welcome to listen to this, too.
I'll just put music in cue.
Oh, would you
good
stop?
Good idea, Dano.
I hate both of you.
Got any stones?
I just hate both of you. Fine, I'll just talk to everybody that wants to listen. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and you for the next few hours here. We'll have fun. Anyway, Jeff, someone comes up to you and says, hey, your kid is an elite athlete. You're a high school sophomore. Next year, why don't you come on across the border, and we're going to give you $750,000. We're going to give you $750,000 to take NIL in another state to go play high school athletics, football in particular. Thoughts? What would you do?
Depends. What kind of parent do you want to be?
Oh, is it on you? What if the kid says, of course I want to go?
Kid's a minor.
Of course I want to go.
Yep. Well, your mother and I care to raise you the way we want you raised. Not the way Mr. and Mrs. Flabeets, we're going to let you live in their basement, want you to be raised.
Well, you'd never make it as a hockey parent, but that's okay.
Well, that's fine.
That's, I mean, that the whole billeting started that. $750,000. Would you do it, Dan? Would you do it? Would you let your kid leave?
Would you sell your kid?
You're not selling your kid, man. You make That's not a horrible way to look at it. Dan, your kid's a five-star sophomore.
Well, who's the one making these ratings? You know, they pull these ratings out of the sky all over the place. Who's the people even in charge of it? I can't even believe we do this. Why do we trust these people who have these ratings anyhow? Who's doing it? Just some jerk in his basement, nothing better to do? Who knows if he's a five-star?
That's pretty good.
Great point.
Yeah,
great point.
Good.
I thought that was well done. Yeah. That was well done.
Look,
who's he? Were you imitating someone?
I certainly understand the money aspect of it. I do. That's serious. You know, you could set your kid up for life unless you wanted to, you know, dupe your kid over and keep the cash for yourself. I think it comes down to how do you want to raise your family and how do you want to raise your kid.
And how do you think most future families are going to approach this? I think they take the money down the road.
I would hope not.
I would think most families would take the cash.
Well, maybe that's part of what's wrong with our society.
So here's forget youth sports corner. It's ethics corner on Baskin and Phelps. There's a kid from Alabama that's just went through this.
With
Cameron,
a banjo on his knee?
No. Oh. Cameron Pritchett is his name. He declined $750,000 in NIL as a sophomore to go to another school. He's a four-star defensive end at
Good for him. You know
Thompson
why?
High School.
Maybe he loves his parents and he loves living at home and he wants to be raised by his family. And he thinks there's money down the road. And if not, I'm going to get an education and go get a job and have a wonderful life.
I think as a senior, he could probably get $1.5 million in a different state. That's probably what's going to happen here.
Not everybody chases the money, Andy.
Jeff, I wish I would believe that. I don't. Not anymore. Not with transfer portal and all these other things going on. You know,
well, that's different. That's college. These are high
school. If you're an 18-year-old as a senior in high school, or you're an 18-year-old.
He's a sophomore, didn't you?
This kid's a sophomore, but
yeah,
you're
well,
talking about.
He's 14, 15 years old.
Well, there are 17-year-olds
in
college.
Maybe he should be
too.
Raised by his parents. That's more than 3 minutes. We get to move on.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to take this to the end of the segment because you're getting aggravated by the whole thing. Tristan McKenzie, were you surprised they let him go yesterday? You're welcome.
I was disappointed they let him go, and not because they let him go. Man, we thought we had something there, didn't we? You thought you had a frontline starting pitcher, and you did at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, I think the injury and the fact that he probably should have had surgery, don't you think, makes a difference?
Well, he have had surgery?
Well, right now he's looking for work, so maybe the answer is within the question.
I think you're correct. He probably should have had surgery.
I don't think they wanted to do it by any means, you know. I mean, he was designated for assignment, you know?
You know the other thing that's funny about Tristan?
And he's a first-rounder. It's not like they don't like to make mistakes.
Absolutely, man. And I think it's fair to say they didn't make a mistake. The guy got injured. And then the guy chose a different course of action to repair his injury. He went with time and no surgery. That apparently hasn't worked for him.
Well, what they have 7 days now. They got to trade him or place him on outright waivers, right? And then if nothing happens, if he clears waivers, they can send him back to Columbus.
I think Tristan is an example of, and it's a cautionary tale, to use a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 6'5", and he's 165 pounds. We all know how skinny he is,
mm-hmm.
and we all saw how hard he threw and the torque it put on his body. The human body's not designed for that. I mean, it's just not. And that's, you know, that's a problem. And I think that, you know, he pitched a lot for a couple of years, right? What did he make, 24 and 30 starts for the Guardians in 21 and 22 when he was a young guy, and has not been the same pitcher since. He threw 191 innings. Back in the day, that's not a big deal. But he doesn't have the build to throw 191 innings. At least you thought, does he have the build? Well, it turns out maybe he didn't. And, you know, I can't say they abused him. I don't think they did. They just put him in the starting rotation and let him pitch, right?
Yes.
And then he chose a different course of action. And he's not been the same pitcher since. And that's a shame. And, you know, like when you see a guy like tonight's starter, Tanner Bibee, who early on said, yep, I'll take your guaranteed money. Thanks. I'll take your money. How can you go wrong there? You know what I mean?
No, I this is the part that I find super interesting. I didn't realize he is the second longest, was the second longest tenured player in the organization, only behind Jose Ramirez. That's insane.
That's something. Well, he was drafted out of high school.
Yeah, 2015 draft.
And he's going to be 28 coming up. My hope is this. He clears waivers. Somehow they don't trade him or whatever, and he accepts an assignment to AAA.
Do they have any place in Columbus that can, you know, help him put a little weight on?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm almost at the point now where I kind of...
Lots of pizza shops.
It's too bad they couldn't
but
have put...
But you don't need to fatten him up. You need to just thicken him up weight and muscle.
I think it would have been interesting to... If they would have... I mean, could he still do surgery? I mean, is that...
Well, yeah, he can, but guess what?
He's got to pay for it himself, right?
Well, I don't know...
He doesn't have a team now.
I don't know the particulars on that. I do know this. If he has Tommy John surgery right now, forget the rest of this year, and maybe forget all of next year, and he becomes Matthew Boyd, and he goes out and he has to, you know, hey, I'm gonna throw. How many teams want to come watch? I mean, he's got a lot of time to salvage his career, but he'll be 28 later this summer. That's not necessarily young for a guy who hasn't really nailed it yet in the major leagues.
And the question with him, too, is how healed is the ligament now?
Right.
How much of what is taking place is mental? You know, how much of it is when I do this, it hurts or it did hurt. And so that's why I stopped doing it. How much of it is all of those kind of things that just can't be fixed straight out with surgery? And how much of it honestly falls into the case of these bad habits are all compounded on top of each other. And maybe someone else gets a hold of the guy and can get through to him.
But what team always seems to be the team that gets through to these guys? Like, we're
the
great
Cleveland
at
Guardians.
That. We're absolutely great at that.
Yeah.
Right. And there are, it's like everything in this world. There are places that are really, really good with that stuff. And sometimes just hearing a different set of ears, all of us, or a different voice in your ears makes sense and gets through to you and changes stuff. Like maybe the Rays look into them. Maybe the Brewers look into them. Maybe the San Francisco Giants look into them. Maybe the Mariners look into them. Like there are other places that have turned into really good places with pitching that maybe just having a different message coming into his head might help. And it's not an insult to the organization if a different message is what's taking place.
What I would definitely do if I were Tristan McKenzie, I'd go see two or three of the most, and I'm sure he's already seen some already. I'd go see two or three of the
doctor
best elbow specialists in the country and get a consensus. Hmm. Hey, is my elbow messed up enough that I need surgery? And, you know, is it or isn't it? And if they say, no, it's healed, well, if it didn't heal properly, Andy, on its own, and he wants to continue playing baseball, and that's a big if. You know, does he want to keep going through this, or has he had enough? Then go have the surgery and take your best chance.
Hmm. All right, I have 60 seconds, and you know I'm going back to that other story here for 1 second. Would you let your kid take that $750,000? Daryl in Cleveland, go, Daryl. How are you, man? Daryl. Oh, it worked out too perfect, and now he's not there. Hi, Daryl. We hear you going on in the background. Daryl, are you there? Oh, Daryl, you had your chance.
He's making egg salad.
He was going to take the money. He said he would let his kid go for $750,000. My phone's blowing up, too.
Don't put words in his mouth.
It said it right there on the screen. I'd let my kid go for $750,000.
Maybe he changed his mind after further consideration.
Maybe he changed his mind. Don't put words in people's
mouths. Bill and Parma was going to chime in. We had a big, massive conversation that we'll have to have somewhere down the road. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's talk about the Cavs. Now, that's something I want to get into, especially with tomorrow night's game against Miami. I also want to get into the Guardians and Yankees a little bit more as we talk about the series itself. And really, what are we learning about this team as we, you know, get, I don't know, what are we, 25 games into the season at this point? So, right there. Plus, Ed McCaffrey is going to join us, former Broncos wide receiver, father of Christian and Luke. He'll join us and John Schumann at 1 o'clock. It's all straight ahead. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.